Excuse to leave for worship, kids style, and you can turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be in verses 1 and through 4 this morning, and we are beginning a brand new sermon series. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke and walking our way through it. And it's going to take us a while to get through the end of the Gospel of Luke. But I believe that this is could be life transforming. And we're going to be studying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm excited about the opportunity to preach through the Gospel of Luke. I've never preached all the way through an entire gospel before. And I've preached on sections of it and themes of it, but this will be the first time we've attempted to go through. You say, how long is it going to take? I don't know. Probably at least a year, maybe longer. I don't know. We'll see. I know a couple of pastors who have preached through the Gospel of Luke, and one of them took 2 years, one took 3 years. So I guess it depends on how deep we want to go. But we're not going to put any timetables on it right now. We're just going to go and ask God to lead us and ask God to bless our time together around God's Word. This morning, I brought something along with me, and many of you may have one of these. Anybody know what this is? It's a GPS. That's right, a global positioning system. Is that right? Okay, global positioning system, right. And so there's a satellite that's up there in the sky right now, and it will zoom down a beam and match up with this little device, and it will tell me how I need to go, where I need to go, and it'll get me there. Now, I want you to imagine what would happen if your GPS system wasn't exactly accurate. Let's say you decided that you wanted to go to Blacksburg. I'm not sure why, but you wanted to go to Blacksburg. And so you punched in the zip code for Blacksburg. And you got in your car and you listened to Jenny. That's what we call this one. This is Jenny. And so you listen to her directions and you get to your destination and you look up and you realize that you're in Charlottesville. We have a problem. Your GPS is not very credible, is it? Not very reliable. Now, take that example and imagine if it was a life or death situation. I know we've got some people in here that are that run calls for EMS and those types of things. Imagine for just a moment that you have you're running calls and you're in an ambulance and you need to get to a particular street, and so you enter into that street and you're following it along, and it takes you to a place where there's no fire, where there's nobody that's in need of help. Then you have a serious problem, don't you? Because the GPS was not credible, that the GPS didn't take you to the right place. What I want you to understand, that as we look at the Gospel of Luke, it is a matter of life and death. Because Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so we need to make sure that what we are following is truth. We need to make sure that what we are following is accurate. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. The very first four verses of the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us why we should listen to the rest of the book. Why we should listen to everything else that follows. And so we're going to talk about, can I trust the map? And we're going to take the Gospel of Luke as our map. And what we are searching for is Jesus. What we want to learn about is Jesus. What we want to get to know better is Jesus. And so the question is, can I trust the map? Let's look at this passage of Scripture together. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Number one, Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty among the things you have been taught. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray right now that you would open up our hearts, open up our ears. God, I pray that you would open up our minds. God, I pray that you would allow your word to speak to us. Help us, God, to understand it and to be able to apply it to our lives today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you a little bit of facts this morning about the Gospel of Luke before we jump in and look at these verses together. A few facts. First fact I want you to understand is the Gospel of Luke is the longest gospel. The Gospel of Luke is the longest gospel. It is, if for those history buffs or those who like to have all the details, the Gospel of Luke is 1,151 verses long. It would take the average reader 2 hours just to sit down and read the Gospel of Luke from the beginning to the end. If you don't have 2 hours or you don't want to make time to do that, you can read the Gospel of Luke. If you take 15 minutes per day, you can read the Gospel of Luke all the way from beginning to end in a week. And I want to challenge you to do that. I want to encourage you to do that. Take some time to get to know the Gospel of Luke. Don't just come in and sit down and just expect to soak it up like a sponge. No, you spend some time at home and find a copy of God's Word and take out a pen and or a pencil and underline things and circle things. You get to know the Gospel of Luke with us together. And so the Gospel of Luke was written to an audience. Now, there are four Gospels, and of course you know that there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one of the Gospels was written to a particular different audience. Matthew's gospel was written primarily to Jews. Mark's gospel was written primarily to Romans. John's gospel was written primarily to the Greeks, but Luke's gospel was primarily written to the Gentiles, which, by the way, I would say that the majority of you fit that category, okay? Unless we have some Jewish folks who have trusted in Jesus Christ this morning, probably 100% of us are Gentiles. And so the Gospel of Luke was written to people just like us. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, there's four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the first three of those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels. And they kind of say the same things. They're very similar in nature. It's kind of like turning on the television at nighttime and you can watch ABC, NBC, or CBS. They're going to pretty much tell you the same news. They're pretty much going to tell you the same information. But then the Gospel of John, it's kind of like watching Fox News, okay? It's a little bit different. He tells a little bit different slant to the story. But he still talks about Jesus. He still tells us about Jesus. And it's important to understand the differences between the different Gospels. Did you know that without the Gospel of Luke, you would lose a lot of very important biblical understanding? Whenever you read the Gospel of Luke, you discover or you learn about the birth of Jesus. Take away the Gospel of Luke, you take away the Christmas story that we read just about every year, Luke chapter 2. Very important information that we find there. You take away the Gospel of Luke, you lose the parable of the prodigal son. That is very unique to the Gospel of Luke. If you take away the Gospel of Luke, you lose the story of the conversion of Zacchaeus. Now, wouldn't that be sad? I mean, every child loves to learn about Zacchaeus, don't you? And so if you took it away, those are some things that are unique to the Gospel of Luke. And then also, one other fact, Luke is a sequel. or Luke has a sequel, okay? The Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts are written by the same person. The Gospel of Luke tells us the story of Jesus. The book of Acts tells us all about the early church. We're going to read Acts chapter 1 in just a moment and talk about how Luke was writing to the same purpose for the same goal so that we could get to know more about Jesus, so that we could get to know more about the truth. And so that's just a little bit of background about the Gospel of Luke. Now, let's take a few moments this morning and look at that question. Can I trust the map? And first thing I want you to ask this, is the author credible? Is the author credible? And I think that's important, isn't it? If you have a map and you want to know where you're going, you want to know whether or not that author is right. Well, I've already alluded to it. I've already mentioned it, that Luke is the author of the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. He has been attributed to him all throughout the years. There's been very little disagreement about the authorship of the Gospel of Luke. And as you read through it, as you understand it, it's very clear that he was writing for a specific purpose. In fact, he writes to a man. It says in verse number 3, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. The Theophilus was a man, and his name literally means lover of God. Lover of God. And he's described as most excellent, meaning that he probably had some type of title, meaning that he had some type of he was an important official of some type. But I want you to notice that God is concerned about the nations, God is concerned about the church, and God is concerned about individuals. Amen? Look at that passage. God allowed Luke, think about it, God allowed Luke to compile for us a gospel account, an account of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, and it's directed primarily to one individual. You see, God is concerned about every single person here. God has a purpose, he has a plan, he has a concern for every single person that's in this room. And the fact that Luke addresses this gospel, writes this gospel with one person in mind, reminds us this morning that God is a God who is concerned about individuals. Look over at Acts chapter 1. I mentioned that the book of Acts is the sequel to the book of Luke. And listen to chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and you'll hear some of the same words used. He says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. He refers back to the first book, meaning he refers back to the Gospel of Luke. And he's writing to the same person. He's writing to Theophilus, and he's explaining in the book of Acts all about the early church. And as you read through the book of Acts, you'll notice that the author of the book of Acts uses the third person regularly. He'll talk about he did this or they did this. But on certain occasions, he says we. He includes himself in the situation. He says, we did this. We went here. We were involved. You see, Luke was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. He was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. That means that he went with the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. That means that as he went with Paul on his missionary journeys, he was able to meet people. He was able to talk to people. He was able to interview people. that had been with Jesus, that had seen Jesus, that had heard Jesus, that had been transformed by Jesus. And so Luke was a traveling companion of Paul. He was also very well educated. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, you know that because the Greek language that the book of Acts and the book of Luke was written in is very superb. All right, the language is excellent. And also, as you read through other letters of the Apostle Paul, you'll discover that not only was Luke a companion of Paul, he was also a physician. He was a doctor. And wouldn't it be great to have a doctor that beloved Jesus? Amen? Wouldn't it be great to have a doctor that loved Jesus, that not only would take care of your physical needs, but also pray for you? You see, I believe that Luke traveled with the Apostle Paul, and he was his traveling physician. He was able to meet Paul. He was able to help Paul whenever Paul was beaten. He was able to encourage Paul and maybe mend up some of his wounds. He was there with him throughout everything, many of the things that he went through. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14 says, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you. And here's something else about Luke that I love. I think many times we miss this. He was a loyal friend. How many of you like a loyal friend? I mean, we like people that stick with us. We like people that will stick beside us. We like people that will be there whenever the going gets tough. We like people that will be there whenever everybody else seems to be running away. Luke was right there. How do I know that? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul talks about how everyone has left him except for Luke. And by the way, 2 Timothy was Paul's last letter. 2 Timothy was the letter that Paul wrote right before he would go to the Roman guillotine. You see, Luke was right there with him. When everybody else had abandoned him, when everybody else was gone, there was Luke, encouraging him, helping him. You say, why is that important? Why are all of those things that I just talked about important? They're important because Luke was not a casual spectator studying history. No, no, no. Luke was an active missionary, an active preacher himself. Luke was involved in many of the things that were going on. And so, yes, we can trust the author of this letter. We can trust what the words that he said. We can trust what he was talking about this morning and all throughout the series that we're going to look at as we think about finding and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, is the source of information credible? Is the source of information credible? Look what he says in verse 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. You see, there was much interest in the life of Jesus. People saw him, people had listened to him, people had followed him, and so there were a lot of people that had gone on and had compiled a narrative. They had compiled stories. They had compiled witnesses. They had compiled things together. They had sources. Luke had sources of others, and he took those sources and he used some of those to write this letter to Theophilus. But he also had eyewitness testimony. He says there in verse 2, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses. How important is eyewitness testimony? It's very important. If you go into a court today, if you happen to go into a court and if you're on trial and somebody comes up and they say, well, you know, I heard from my cousin who heard from her cousin that this person over here on the witness stand is guilty. What's the judge going to say? We don't want to hear that. That's called hearsay. We don't want to hear hearsay. Listen, if you go into a court today, what matters the most is eyewitness testimony. What carries the greatest weight? Eyewitness testimony. What carries the greatest weight whenever we think about whether or not something happened? The answer is eyewitness testimony. And Luke says there have been many who have had eyewitness testimony of Jesus. And as a traveling companion of Paul, Luke had plenty of opportunity to meet with people and talk to them about Jesus. Notice what else he says. And ministers of the word have delivered them to us. These were not just passive observers. These were not just people that just happened to see something, hear something. No, these were people who had been transformed by the gospel. Listen, friends, if your life has been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to remember it, aren't you? You're going to remember what Jesus said. You're going to remember what Jesus talked about. You're going to remember the events of that day. And that's what Luke was using. Excuse me. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. Now let's talk about the method. Luke was an eyewitness, or excuse me, he was an investigative reporter. Imagine that, okay? He's Geraldo without the attitude, okay? He's investigating. That's what he says in verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Here's what Luke would do. Luke would go from town to town, maybe traveling with the Apostle Paul, maybe traveling alone. But as he would go from town to town, he would meet people who had been with Jesus. Maybe Luke saw some shepherds off in a field. And he went up to the shepherds and he said, "Tell me about your experience with Jesus. Tell me about the night that Jesus was born." And as they told him that information, Luke wrote it down. Then maybe he went and talked to Mary. We have more information about Mary in the Gospel of Luke than we do anywhere else. Maybe he went and talked. I believe he went and talked to Mary. Asked her the questions. Wrote it down. Put it in an orderly fashion so that we could read it and understand it. Just think about it. He would go from place to place and meet people and talk to people. And they would explain to him who Jesus was. So that now we can come together and we can sit down and we can read and understand the life and the work of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Why is it important that these were eyewitnesses? Well, it's important for two reasons. I mentioned one of them already. It's important because eyewitnesses' accounts always hold up better than hearsay. It's important because whenever we have an eyewitness, that somebody who has seen it, somebody who has heard it, they are able to give us an accurate description of what took place. But it's also important because if he wrote something, listen, if he wrote something that was inaccurate, they could either hold it up for truth or they could reject it. Many of these people were still living. Many of these people were still active. They were still around. And so if Luke wrote something down, they could stand up and say, wait a minute, that's not right. It's kind of like, you know, the book that's getting ready to come out by Sarah Palin. And people have already come out and said, no, some of the things that she wrote in that book, is not right. Why are they saying that? Because they were there. They saw it. They saw it from a different angle than she did. And so Luke is out there and he's interviewing people. He's talking to people. He's gathering all of this information. And if something was not right, they could have stopped him and said, no, you need to change that. No, that's not accurate. But that doesn't happen. Could have happened, but it doesn't happen. And then he says it's orderly. It's orderly, that he has provided us an orderly account. How many of you like to read things that are orderly? I mean, you like it whenever it's orderly. You like it whenever it makes sense. It flows. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that it's a chronological order, but it's an orderly account. He's taken all of the information that he has acquired. He has written it down. He's putting it together, and he's providing something for Theophilus. He's providing something for us so that we can read it, we can understand it, and we can apply it. And the bottom line is, he wants us to know about Jesus. I mean, that's the theme of the whole book, friends. The theme of the whole book is so that we can get to know Jesus, so that we can get to know who he is, his work, and his life. The last thing I want you to see is the purpose, which I just touched on. What was his reason for writing? Verse 4, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. How important is certainty? It's very important. If it's a matter of life and death, it's even more important, isn't it? Theophilus had heard some things. Theophilus had studied some things. And now he needed more certainty. And so Luke writes him this letter. He follows it up with the book of Acts. And in those two books, which by the way, account for the majority of the New Testament. A lot of people think that Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Paul wrote a lot of letters, but they were normally shortened letters. The majority of the New Testament was written by Luke, in Luke and in Acts. And so he writes this letter, and he wants to make sure that Theophilus was certain about the things that were being taught. Let me just let you know this, friends. God does not want us to hold on to a bunch of wild stories about his son. God is concerned this morning that you and I get the facts and that we get them right. He wants us to make sure that we have the truth. And that we understand the truth. And that we are certain about what we believe. And so as we go through the Gospel of Luke, as we study it verse by verse, we are going to be able to learn about Jesus. We're going to be able to believe about Jesus. And we are going to know that it is true. It is true. How important is God's truth to you this morning? How important is God's truth this morning? Do you want to find the treasure that will lead you to an eternity spent with God? You see, there's a lot of people today that are searching. You might have come into this room this morning and you're searching. You might have come into this room and you're searching for peace, or you're searching for somebody to believe in. You're searching for anything. I want you to know this morning that you can find it in Jesus. You can find that peace. You can find that joy that you're missing. You can find that comfort. You can find that encouragement. You can find it in Jesus. As we study Luke's gospel over the next several months, as we study and understand who Jesus is, I don't want you to learn simply for the sake of learning. You see, I believe that as we get to know Jesus, as we learn more about the treasure that Jesus is to us, it should transform our life. It should transform our life. As we learn more about Jesus Christ, as we learn about his miraculous birth, as we learn about him being tempted in the wilderness, as we watch him go from place to place and house to house, and he does miracle after miracle, and we see all of these things right before our eyes, It should transform us. Now, I know that today's lesson, today's sermon has been a little bit heavier than normal on history and the basic facts, but let me tell you, as we get deeper into this book of the Bible, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Him and understand who He was and understand what He said. I don't know if I mentioned this a moment ago, but 50% of the Gospel of Luke are nothing more than the words of Jesus. If you have a Bible that has the red lettering and you flip through the Gospel of Luke, you'll find that over 50% of it is in red lettering. That means that Jesus said it. Jesus spoke it. And so as we get to know the Gospel of Luke, what we're basically saying is we want to get to know Jesus. And what we're saying is this morning is that we can trust this book. We can believe with certainty in who Jesus was. We can believe with certainty in what He has said. And so this morning, let me close by saying this again. How important is God's truth to you? Let me close by saying this. Do you want to find the treasure that will lead to an eternity spent with God? The answer to the question, can we trust the map, is yes. And the answer is in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for who Jesus is. Father, I thank You that we can come today and we can trust You. We can believe You this morning. Father, I thank You that Your word, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by just a mere man, by Luke. Thank You, Father, that word is true. Father, I pray for those who may be here today who are searching this morning for peace, searching for hope, searching for forgiveness. Father, I pray that You would help them to come to Jesus, to find the treasure that only Jesus can provide. Lord, I pray that You'd help us in the days and the weeks ahead to get to know Jesus better. Lord, I pray that as we get to know Him better, God, it would transform our lives. God, that we would live differently because we've gotten to know Your Son more intimately. Father, speak to our hearts right now as we have this moment of response. God, I pray that You would help us to respond in accordance to Your word and Your commands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.